Well, good morning, Detroit. Hope everybody's doing well. Scott, are you doing well today?
Yeah, I think so.
You think so? You got to assess. Got to assess still.
You take stock in my life at 10 o'clock in the morning on a rando Wednesday.
Yeah, you haven't given a deep thought?
No.
Where your life is right now, where it's headed?
Didn't do any deep thinking this morning.
How gratifying things are for you?
Stretching out my back and hips this morning. No, I didn't do any deep thinking.
Yeah, okay.
I think I'm doing pretty
small
well.
Small scale question.
Yeah.
How are you feeling this morning?
Pretty good this
good.
Morning.
Glad to hear it.
Things are good.
I didn't mean to get in the deep end of the pool right away, and have you?
I don't know if the pool's all that deep, but it's not a kiddie pool, but you know, let's face it. It's not like we're, you know, doing our scuba work either.
Our what?
Scuba.
Scuba. Work. I thought you said scuba.
Deep. No, we're doing lots of scuba.
We'll do some scuba. We'll do a lot of scuba today. Yeah. Look at this guy out there striking everybody out. Winning a baseball game for Detroit as we get another data point.
Not making it past the fifth inning.
I know, right? Pitch count got pretty high. Was what it was. But anything else last night before we get into?
So I ended up watching the shootout portion of a soccer game, but I don't know if it was live.
You mean Switzerland and Colombia?
Yeah. What time were they playing? Was that actually?
It was a 4 o'clock start. So the shootout was like 6:30.
Okay, so no, I watched the replay. I saw the replay of that. I'm flipping through channels, and it was on because it was on like Fox Sports 1.
Yeah.
And this is like, I don't know, 11 o'clock, 10:30 at night when I flipped it on.
So you didn't know what happened.
I had no idea, which was fantastic. So I don't know what happens, and it goes to, overtime or whatever, extended play, and then that's scoreless. Scoreless tie going into shootout or to penalty kicks, and so I got to see it blissfully ignorant as to what had happened.
You know, it's funny because we spent a lot of time opening the show yesterday with soccer. And, you know, with us being unceremoniously asked to leave the World Cup, we discussed a little bit about, you know, soccer in this country, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know that the World Cup could have bounced back with a more entertaining game than Argentina-Egypt yesterday afternoon. Everybody in the office was talking about it. This place was buzzing. We were on the air trying to do a show while that game was going on. And Argentina, it's going to be a massive upset. Egypt over Argentina. And then the last 10 minutes, Argentina scores three times and wins 3-2.
I was explaining in the crosstalk.
Sorry, spoiler alert.
Right. I was explaining during the crosstalk how, you know, the way you and I are situated here, you're more suited to being able to see the TV. Well, I guess you can turn to your left and see the TVs.
TVs. Easy right into my left. Yeah.
For me, they're not very. I mean, look, my left eye sucks, so there's no way I'm going to be able to see that thing unless I turn all the way around to it. And to my right, if I do that, then I'm not facing the cameras in here, and I feel like that's so. I don't really pay too much attention to the TVs.
Yep.
Typically, but what I love was you're giving me the cues. Like you hold up one finger, and I look over, and Argentina scores. Then you hold up two fingers, like oh, they tied it up. And I can't remember. Did they win it while we were in the studio, or did we just walked out of the studio?
I think they scored the go ahead goal.
At the 93 minute mark or whatever it was. And the goal was, I'm not any sort of, I can't scheme a great defense against a team in soccer. I'm not well schooled in the sport enough to do something like that. But it looked like Argentina just was playing, I don't know, 10-on-3 the last 10 minutes. That you talk about tilting a field in your favor. Oh, yeah. And then the game-winning goal, it's like, where is everybody? What happened? There's an Argentina guy going down the right sideline, centers the with a kick, centers it, and there's only one defender and one Argentina player. That's it. Everybody else is like behind the play, and he just kind of, the Argentina player does a great job of getting his body in front of the Egyptian defender and getting his head just on the ball before the defender can get over there and stop it. And the goaltender is caught because he's like, I'm committed going to my right. And if this thing connects, there's nothing I can do. And there was nothing he could do. It was redirected in the other direction. He's caught there. It's like if you're a baseball player, you're expecting a fastball, and here comes Uncle Charlie. They drop the curveball in there, and your knees kind of buckle, and there's nothing you can do. It's just an awful sinking feeling. And The entire nation felt it for Egypt.
And you know, I mean, look, the whatever the World Cup settles into being in terms of popularity now that the U.S. is out, they probably couldn't have asked for a more exciting game. It might have been better if it were in prime time, but it was one hell of an exciting game yesterday. So
it was. And then, you know, the replay that I saw last night was a shootout.
The PKs.
Same thing, but yeah, penalty kicks.
Colombia and Switzerland. And I will continue to argue it's the most pressure an athlete can feel is taking a PK as a shooter in the World Cup.
And there was actually a legitimate save in that shootout.
Yes, there was. There was a couple of them, but one of them was badass.
Absolutely spectacular. When a goaltender makes a save in penalty kick situation, it is spectacular because advantage is 100% in the favor of the shooter. Is that it?
Yeah, sure.
The kicker, striker, whatever.
I'm not going to get it. Like, who cares? We're excited about it.
Dude is taking a kick. 100%. Everything favors him. Yep. And it's amazing when the goaltender actually makes a save. And immediately my thoughts go, well, why'd you kick it there? I would never, as someone who played some soccer in his life, the strategy I would take would never be to go for the lower quadrants. Ever, because that's the only place that the goaltender can save it. He's not going to stay on his feet and try to jump up in the air to go for one of the upper quadrants. However, there's a lot of risk trying.
There's
to
a lot of risk because you can sail it over. You can sail it over
100%.
And when guys sail it over, it's in a PK shootout when a shooter sails it over the crossbar. It looks to me like the most depressing, sinking feeling that someone can have. I can't believe I just did that.
It's like you just fell through the gallows, you know?
Yeah, like, what did I just do?
But,
So, yeah, the Tigers on you, a replay of a World... Gators watching World Cup replays.
And it's in a game that I never thought I'd have any... It's like Switzerland and Colombia?
It's like I don't even know who you are anymore.
What am I...
If I'd gone back a month ago and told you that this is who you'd turn into... You would have laughed at me.
I probably would have. I mean, it's the battle of hot chocolate versus coffee last night. Hot chocolate wins.
Or something else that starts with C.
Oh, dog. The yayo. I did not expect that I was going to be stopping in last night and watching that. I can't remember what I was watching after the Tigers game. Clearly it was.
What time? I thought you were watching that after the Tiger game.
I didn't turn it on until 10:30.
So you were watching that. You mean immediately after the Tiger. Yeah. Okay.
I may have watched something that I'd recorded. Gotcha. Some kind of HGTV stuff or something.
Of course you did.
Yeah.
That Tiger game has happened a bunch this season.
Well, we've seen a lot of that.
When the starting pitcher hands a 2-1 lead to the bullpen, this is the perfect formula to lose. This is how they have lost a whole bunch, is hand a close game over to the bullpen. And, you know, the Tigers got a little bit lucky. I want to give A.J. Hinch a ton of credit, though, because with two outs and two on, he pinch hit Malgeri for Outman. And what did Malgeri do? He ripped a double. I mean,
you're right. I'm looking at this. I'm looking at the box.
Doesn't it say double?
It says double Malgeri. Yep. His first double of his career. It says it.
It says double.
He probably ripped it in the gap off the wall.
It found a gap.
Yeah.
It found
found that gap?
A gap.
Found a gap between.
So A.J. Hinch, great call.
Brilliant.
Yeah. No. For people who missed it, Malgeri came up as a pinch hitter and hit a pop-up that landed 4 feet outside the infield that somehow. Right fielder and the second baseman both went after and then at the same time peeled off.
I could see how it happens, right? You got a guy just coming into the game in right field. He's running into the plate. A second baseman has his back to home plate as he's running out towards the right fielder. And they recognize that they might collide. The right fielder calls him off. And then the second baseman doesn't really totally get out of the way after he's called off. Mm-hmm. And the right fielder going, "Nyeh!" And then the ball drops to his right.
That sound. That's what the play was. It went into the, actually it was scored as, it's how it was scored. Two players who just let a pop-up drop. And the Tigers turned that into four runs. and put the game away.
Well, and thanks to the center fielder Bolte for doing the same thing earlier in the game.
Dropping a fly ball.
Didn't result in a run scored, but that was a ridiculous
drop. Last two games the Tigers have won, they have taken advantage of defensive mistakes.
Do it.
And they did against Texas. There was the catcher's interference, and there was another play. What was it? I remember Texas made.
There was a wild pitch, I think.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, it was a wild pitch.
Or pass ball, whatever.
Yeah, that got a run in. And then last night, there was a couple defensive mistakes.
But you're right, Doug. The formula is just turn a 2-1 lead over to the bullpen.
Yeah, I mean,
that's all you have to do.
Wasn't that like here's how you set up a loss all season long is hand a close game over to the bullpen early. Because as good as Skubal was, and he was really, really good, his pitch count got high and he only lasted 5 innings.
So in the last 3 weeks, we've gone from who the heck is Wagaspak to... Who the heck is Wagaspak? This guy comes in, finishes up with 2 strong innings of no-hit ball, 2 perfect innings to close it out. He's been very good for the Tigers when called upon. I don't know who the hell this guy is, but glad to have him right now. In the meantime, it is absolutely 100%, as a Tiger fan watching these games, it's like watching, I feel like doing an AI video of this, or at least a picture of this with the caption, the Tigers bullpen, and it's a giant tiger, and it's like paws, basically, the mascot tiger, walking on eggshells
right
across the room to not wake up the baby. That's what it feels like when the Tigers bullpen takes over, but they got it done last night.
So, I feel like this morning everybody in the office was talking about what Skubal said after the game. And in Detroit, we want to know how you feel about it. If you missed it during the morning show, we'll play it for you and talk about it. Birchie Kid did a great story about the direction this next month is going to go and the direction that it should go. It's the story of July in Detroit sports. Is what direction does Scott Harris, do the Tigers go, and what direction does Scott Harris go? We will get to that coming up at 10:20. It is Carson Anderson here on 97.1.
Are you nervous
always
tonight?
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. So yeah. Well, yeah. Definitely. Are you nervous tonight for Kenny Omega?
Am I ever?
Yeah, I get it. I mean, tonight he's wrestling for the AEW World Heavyweight Championship against the champion Maxwell Jacob Freeman.
Jacob Freeman, yeah.
And the stipulation on a match is if Kenny Omega doesn't win, he will never be able to challenge for the AEW championship again.
Well, let's not give away the entire second half of the show here. We're going to start with Tigers. We'll get to that at noon. So you're jumping the gun a little
bit. Right, you're right. I'm sorry. My bad.
It's okay.
My bad. I just came across a tweet real quick, and I thought, oh, let's remind people that this is happening tonight.
That is correct. That
Kenny
is
Omega.
Correct. Mm-hmm. All right. So the Birchie Kid did a story. It's been tweeted out for our account at DuncanGator971, and we got some highlights from what he wrote because it's really, really interesting about this fascinating conundrum that faces us with our baseball team. As another data point comes in. And the way they are playing, they look like a playoff team. Their record screams at us that they are not. Okay. The record is what it is, but there are plenty of metrics that tell you this team is a playoff team, a playoff caliber team, I should say. But you have a true measurement. Okay. It is your wins and your losses. and that's the most important one. And that feedback is they're not a playoff team. A lot of other feedback tells you they are a playoff team. And Skubal went out and won last night. After the game, the topic of, you know, what's going to happen next? Do they feel like they're moving in the right direction, et cetera, came up. And here's what Tarik Skubal had to say. Okay, it's hard to hear, but he said, I hope the decision makers see it's not sell, it's add, is the most important part. Which is really interesting words coming from him, right? Because this is a dominant player who probably is less vested in the future of the organization than just about anyone in that room. Right? He wants to win, which mm-hmm. you can't be mad at him about that. But of course, adding usually means you're trading future assets.
Right.
And a future asset is not him, most likely, right? He's not going to be around. So I don't think it's hypocritical, but it's HIPAA something. Like, you're not going to be here, most likely. You've hired an agent that is going to go out and do what he can financially for you, and it feels as though other organizations have resources to go further financially than the Tigers. And you know, there's nothing wrong with looking out for your own best interests, but it is also looking out for your own best interest to say, I want to add, because the long-term ramifications of any move they make do not impact Scooble.
No, but this is why it sucks. This whole situation is just brutal, right? We feel like it's a fait accompli that he is going to leave in free agency in the offseason. And most Tiger fans think that. So most Tiger fans think they should trade him. Don't lose him for nothing. I mean, sure, if you kept him all season long and then he signs a contract, you get a compensatory pick in the draft. But that's not the same as getting players you've seen maybe playing in the minor leagues right now and you think are headed for greatness or whatever. You'd rather have that. It sucks. From Scooble's standpoint, though, what this tells me or reaffirms to me, it's a couple things. One, I do think he's ultra competitive. I think he does want to win here, and I think he loves playing with these guys. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's any question about that. I think he loves everything about the Tigers, except for the fact that they can't compete with the Dodgers when it comes to paying him at the end of the season. So right now, if you're Scooble, you're like, yeah, I want to be all in. I want to win because I think he genuinely wants to win with this team. Even if this team were to win a World Series this year, the likelihood of him leaving is probably still high based on things his agent has said. If we just judge this by reading what Scooble has said over the last year and a half about this situation, if you're just reading what his words are, it would tell you he wants to be here, wants to be a Tiger. And yet nobody believes it.
Nope.
What he said has me believing he wants to be a Tiger, at least for the rest of this year. I think he desperately wants to win it with this team here and now. I think another byproduct of that, or something else that goes along with this, it's a much smaller piece of it, is do I really want to pack up and move halfway through a year, and then who knows where I'm going next year?
You really think that's part of it?
No.
Oh, okay. So, I mean... That sounds like something you would say.
That's a very small.
I don't want to do this.
Well, I think it does go through some players' minds, though, when they know that they're on the trading block. They're like, I'd rather just stay here and let me just see you get to free agency.
I don't want to not signing in Los Angeles because of the traffic.
100%.
I could totally see if it were you, you wouldn't go to the Dodgers because of the traffic.
I mean, yeah.
I know you will.
Yeah. No, or what I would do is I'll take the trade and then I'll sign back here in Detroit.
Yeah.
That's what I would do.
The fact is there is nothing wrong with wanting to win in Detroit.
No.
And yet there's a little bit of pushback from the, if you really cared, you'd sign here. Like coming back to Detroit long term would be a stronger consideration. Now, the next question is he right? Is he right? From the Birchie story, since June, the Tigers had the best ERA in the majors, the most homers in the majors, and the best record in the American League.
Well, those are three good things.
Birchie writes, baseball is a strange sport. After 91 games, the Tigers are plus 15 in runs scored. The A's are minus 76, and they have matching records of 41 and 50. If you subscribe to such things, and the Tigers... and their analytical-minded front office surely do. Detroit's run differential equates to an expected record of 47 and 44. Your eye-rolling is understood, Birchie writes. The Tigers did this to themselves. The Tigers will both listen. They have to. It would be crippling, some might say criminal, to keep Scooble for an outside shot at making the playoffs, only to fall short and lose him this winter for nothing more than draft pick compensation. Ask the last-place Angels how that worked out a few years ago with Shohei Ohtani. That's the opportunity cost of holding out hope. There are just seven teams in the majors with positive run differential and a winning record against teams above 500. Six of them, the Dodgers, Brewers, Rays, Braves, Yankees, and Marlins, either lead the division or occupy a playoff spot. The other is the Tigers. I mean, this is a team that has strong characteristics of a playoff team. And yet the record...
The record is what it is. Because of a god-awful May.
And what has amounted to a god awful bullpen performance. Like some of these guys have over the course of time have been performers out of the bullpen. They're just not this year.
They're not having
in good epically years. In epically bad fashion.
Right. But I imagine if you were to take away the month of May from the bullpen, that their numbers look increasingly better, even if though they still that, aren't though, great.
When you start playing the takeaway this
you
part,
can't. It's well, hard to do that.
Yeah, you know, what I'm saying is if you're gonna do that and believe in that, then you are believing in future performance of Will Vest and Kenley Jansen, etc. And do you?
No.
Okay, so there's no point in taking away the month of May.
No,
I think taking away
the bullpen.
Yeah.
For maybe the offense, maybe you can do that, right? Mm-hmm. But for the bullpen, it's hard to do that. And no, I don't. I mean, Kenley Jansen comes into the game. I don't have a ton of confidence. I think it's a 50-50 chance. I think it's a flip of the coin whether he's going to have a good outing.
He just had his first clean inning in five outings.
Yeah. I mean, and he had several before that, but it's. Nonetheless, it's like a 50, it's flip of the coin. Same thing with Will Vest lately. You don't know which, and obviously he's injured right now. So they're without him in the meantime. So I do think this is a better than 500 baseball team when all is said and done. This is a decent baseball team that could be made a lot better if they make some moves at the trade deadline. And yet the record is what the record is because of one bad month. But the one bad month somehow still keeps them within striking distance. They're 6.5 games out of the lead in the division. They're 5 games out of the lead for the last wild card spot. You think about that. It's only 6.5 games out of the division. Are they going to play Cleveland and Chicago a lot? Yes. And those are the teams that are at the top of the league, the standings in the division. They're still got a bunch of games left against those teams. And you talk about swing games or a swing series. You know, you sweep one series. All of a sudden, you've cut that lead in half. Or if you get swept, then it goes the other way, and you know what's going to happen here. But with 3 weeks to go before the trade deadline, the team knows what they have to do. And what Scooble just did is effectively what I think it's smart in a way. It definitely curries favor with the fans because the fans want this. When Dylan Larkin spoke out after, all was said and done a couple of years ago and said, we really kind of hurt us. We didn't go for it at the trade deadline. We really hoped, I'm paraphrasing what he said. I think a lot of Red Wing fans are like, yeah, absolutely. They should have gone for it and didn't do anything. You know, the Knightsman had to push back, and now we have a situation where there's a rift between the general manager and the team's captain, and now he wants out. Scooble coming out and saying this preemptively, I think we should be buyers, I think says many things. One of them is he's appealing to the fans. Fans will love it. The other thing is he's appealing to his teammates because he wants to stick by them. And for him personally, I think he really wants to win here.
Well, I don't know that the fans across the board love it.
I think most of them would.
Yeah. But, we hear from plenty that just say it's not a playoff team. What the hell are you guys talking about?
There is that fan out there.
So I'm not sure
that they
all love it. But I guess we want to know how you feel. There is something, the record is what it is. And yet, because of what they have done against the best teams, it should give you more hope to not give up on this team. And we will get to that coming up today at 10:32, plus your phone calls and feedback. It's Carson Anderson. Tigers win again. You're on 97.1. Okay, so one of the things that we get all the time is that the Tigers, even if they make the playoffs, they're not a World Series contender. That they won't advance. We took that exact call yesterday. Do you know what the Tigers' record is against the 6 American League playoff teams as it stands right now?
It's pretty good. It's better than 500, I'm sure.
It is better than 500. Of the 6 American League playoff teams right now, the Tigers have a winning record against 4 of them. They're 3-3 against the White Sox, and they're a stunning 0-6 against Cleveland. But they have a winning record against the Rays, the Mariners, the Yankees, and the Rangers. And so people say to us all the time, yeah, if they make the playoffs, so what? They're not a World Series contender. But they have beaten 4 of the 6 playoff teams. And these are smaller sample sizes, and it is what it is. But the quick give up speaks to 2 things. To me, one is the absolute depth of the scars of May that probably carry over to the end of last season, that eroded faith that this is a a dangerous baseball team in any way. And yet it was a baseball team that last year was like an inning, the right pitch, the right timed hit away from going to the ALCS. Now, it, you know, there's no question that they have flaws that have been totally exposed this year. But it, you know, to have a winning record against playoff teams in the American League, and you can say what you want, like, you know, the idea that the American League isn't particularly strong, it might be very valid, sure. But all you have to be is better. You're measured relevant to the competition. That's what matters. And I would say keeping Skubal and getting to the World Series, whatever happens, happens, is worth it. But we're in such a weird place because you back yourself into the, many people will think the only thing that makes it worth it is winning the World Series. And I get that line of thinking.
Yeah, I do too. And yet, you know, we're all, I think most baseball fans are aligned thinking the Dodgers are going to be the team that wins the World Series, right? That they're the most complete team.
Yeah.
They're the first team to 60 wins this year in baseball. I mean, they're great. And they just reload. They could lose three guys and it wouldn't matter to them because they can just reload. And then their minor league system is stocked. I kind of feel like this is heading down the same path that the NBA did, where everyone was saying, oh, Oklahoma City's going to kill everybody. And then, oh, well, if it's not Oklahoma City, it's going to be San Antonio. Right. A team from the West, they're just too good. The Eastern Conference doesn't have it. And then the team that makes out of the Eastern Conference is the New York Knicks. And we're like, the Knicks? The same team the Pistons beat three times in a regular season without Jalen Duren? That team? Come on. The Knicks can't beat anybody. And all the Knicks did was go on this ridiculous run in the playoffs, carried that momentum into the finals against San Antonio, and then just mopped the floor with the Spurs, and everyone left with their jaw dropped going, that right. happened?
Yep.
Anything can happen when you get into a playoff situation. Players handle pressure differently. Some guys rise up to it. Some guys cower to it. You don't know what's going to happen. Injuries are a factor. I'm just saying, I would caution before you start, you know, etching the name Los Angeles Dodgers into that trophy. Just hold off, all right? Let things play out, and particularly in the American League where it is so wide open, where literally all but two teams are within five games of the wild card, Chase. Mm-hmm. The only teams that are out are the Angels and the Royals. The Tigers are five games out. That's it.
248-539-9797. Anyway, look, fans, we want to know your thoughts on what Skubal had to say last night, that he wants this team to add. And what sparked this was the Birchie story, which has been linked through Twitter. You can click on it there. If you follow us on Twitter, at DougAndGator971. If you don't, then go to Twitter and follow us at DougAndGator971. And then you can see the story that's kind of sparked this conversation and the quotes from Skubal. And the facts that you can look at so many things that tell you this Tiger team has a real chance in the American League. And the biggest data point that tells you they're not is their record, which is the most important thing.
but what's the eyeball test?
Well, the eyeball test right now, they look like
a playoff team.
They look like a good playoff team.
Yes, they look like a team that can really do some damage. Their starting pitching is great. They've all of a sudden found a power stroke that we didn't see. You know, it's a historical power stroke through the month of June in this organization. And if you're watching last night, all the buttons AJ Hinch pressed were right.
Yeah.
You know, and it's still a team that's dynamic and ever changing, as was the case before the game last night when they fired Joey Cora. Or sorry, which mutually agreed to part ways.
Yes, well, we will talk about that as the show goes on. 248-539-9797, Gene in Ann Arbor. What's up, Gene?
Hey, I love the baseball. I've been following the Tigers for 60 years, 6-0. This is one of the most frustrating and interesting teams I've ever seen. I've had to turn off the radio for like a week or two during this season, a lot of it because of injuries. But what's interesting about this team is that they are World Series ready, obviously, with their starters. The bullpen, as this Jansen, he's blown five or six saves big time. I mean, ninth inning home run. The hitters are there sometimes. Mm-hmm. They need another hitter. I agree with Google. they're going, if they get to 500, which I think they will close to by the deadline, by winning the next six series, whatever, they should add a hitter and maybe a reliever. They're, we're going to miss half a season next year anyway, so let's just do something.
So it's interesting you bring that up, and maybe we should do this more, Gene, and that is part of the calculus, this pending work stoppage. In any way, does this compel you to prepare for the future or to give it gas now? And I don't know what to do with that. I really don't. Like what Gene said, eh, we're going to miss half a season next year. May as well go for it. Yeah, maybe. I mean, here's the thing about going for it. Typically, going for it means giving up young players, prospects, for guys that can help you win now. But when you don't know what the next CBA is going to look like, and we're not sure what cost certainty would be, the value of young players who don't make a ton of money might be more important than it is now. But I don't, again, I don't know what to do with that fact. I'm not sure.
Every team is doing the same thing, right? Every team has to weigh it out. And how important is worrying about next year or not worrying about next year and just throwing caution to the wind? I think you still have to do what's best for the organization. And you have to balance the long term and the short term of it. And the truth is, this team can both buy and sell and still be wildly competitive.
Well, I mean, yeah, maybe, but it depends on who they sell and how many of them they sell. And obviously, well, it depends on the return. Yeah, but
I'm not looking for a major selling off like Casey Mize and Scooble.
Well, that's
and Torres rebuild, and Flaherty. Yeah. You know, that's a lot.
Job and Melton are your next, you know, one, no, two, but
unless the next 2 weeks are absolute hell for the Tigers, well, and then you're like, okay, well, we have no reason to go for it. Now we can move.
Here's the thing. What you just said, they've got that club in their bag.
Well, we've
they
seen
can
it.
Totally sink.
They need a caddy. They need a caddy out there.
They
to
need
say,
a rudder.
No, don't do that.
They need a rudder. They need the boat. It just sways wildly.
What if Jim Leland were their caddy?
Well, Jim Leland...
I would not go for it for you. Okay, the safe play. Just do the safe play. All right, you're gonna lay up. You're gonna lay the 4 yards shy of the green, and then you just chip up and up and down and get your par. And let's move on to the next round. All right, what you're looking to do? What you're fixing to do is put the ball right there in a drink. It costs yourself a couple strokes. The next thing you know, you've got the ocho. Do you want the ocho? I don't want the ocho. No, it's not snow. I don't want that snow here in August. Everybody was smart about it.
Jim, is that you?
It sounds like him, doesn't it, Bobby? All right, so feedback coming in, and we'll get to that. If you sent a text, there's a good chance we're going to read it. The Scuba quote, and we played the soundbite for it. It's a little hard to hear because it was a loud room last night. We had some unlucky losses, beat ourselves up a bit, some injury stuff, including myself. Hopefully the decision makers see that. We're a very good team, and it's not sell at the deadline. It's add. I think we're a really good team, and there's so many guys in this room that have proven that we can go on a run like we did in 24. I think there's a lot that goes into it, but our record is not our team. We're not a 41-50 team. I don't think we're even a 500 team. I think we are one of the best teams in the American League, one of the best teams in MLB. At some point, results matter, and our record is our record, and that matters. Winning matters, but at the same time, I do think we do a lot of things that haven't shown up in the win-loss column. Derek Scoobal after last night's Tiger win. 248-539-9797. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1. Hey, it's Doug Karsh for Sarah Chevrolet in Sterling Heights. Buckle up for summer markdowns on demos all month long. Pay just $199 a month for 24 months on a Silverado 1500 Crew Cab LT 4x4 with $999 down. It's $199 a month. Going out of 17.5 in Van Dyke and Sterling Heights, 87-SAY-SARAH, saysarah.com. Together, let's drive. With GM employee discount and Chevy lease loyalty in the household, 10,000 miles per year. Demo may have up to 2,000 miles, plus taxes and fees with approved credit. Scuba wants to add, which is kind of cool because, of course, he does, and he should. And if you're a Tiger in that locker room and you want to win, you're trying to win. You're playing for something. That's what you're chasing. And yet probably nobody in that locker room, I shouldn't say nobody, but many are more vested in the 2027, 2028, 2029, 2030 Tigers. So then they're almost all more vested than Scooble, who probably won't be here. So like I said earlier, I don't know that it's hypocritical, but it's hip of something. Of course he wants to win. Of course he doesn't care.
Hippocampus?
He doesn't care about future assets. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with him wanting to win. But, you know, we're in a town where there are many people out there that will call us and text us and say, I'm a realist and I know this team isn't World Series caliber. Yet we've given you the numbers of the playoff teams right now in the American League. The Tigers only have a losing record against one of them. Only one of them has a winning record against the Tigers. And everybody else, you know, they've either to 500 with the White Sox and they have a winning record against the Rangers, the Mariners, the Rays, Yankees. I think that's it. Yep. But anyway, the point is, if they add and address weaknesses, could they, without having to sell the farm, could they put together a resume to win the American League that makes you believe they could win the American League? They won again. That's another data point. As you pointed out, the wheels could come off at any time because they have had long stretches of awful play. But Burchy, in his story that we're referencing and have talked about and is linked at DougAndGator971, suggested names. Here's what he writes. Should they go shopping for relievers ahead of the deadline? Aroldis Chapman, Garrett Whitlock, Josh Hader. Should they be shopping for a right-handed bat they eschewed at last year's deadline and again this offseason? Old friend Isak Paredes, Taylor Ward, heck, Jeremy Pena. If they decide to go for it, shouldn't they be shopping for both, meaning a reliever and a right-handed bat? He writes, yes, this was the approach the Angels took in 2023 to maximize what they knew would be their final season with Ohtani. Yes, it blew up in their face. A key difference? The Tigers, per Fangraphs, have twice as good a chance of making the playoffs now, 28.5%, as the Angels did at the deadline in 2023. So, a stronger resume than that Angel team had is what is implied there. Any of those names float your boat?
I'm interested in actually, and there's interest in all of them to degrees. When you look at and see what Taylor Ward has done, he is a guy who's hit a bunch of home runs in his career over the last several years. Certainly, having a little bit of a down year this year, but yet. Okay, is he gettable? Is it with Baltimore, right? So Baltimore's having a miserable season.
And yet they're ahead of the Tigers.
Yeah, well, right, exactly. But it's about how are they playing?
Yeah, you know? Yeah, sure.
And Tigers are playing great right now. So, yeah, I think there is a consideration there. Paredes, our old friend Isak Paredes, has some versatility playing around the infield. And there's interest there. I mean, I always like these Isak Paredes, but again, it's going to come down to the price. The Jeremy Pena stuff feels like that's just like there's no way that's going to be. And he's a shortstop only. What does that change? I mean, you could shuffle things around easily, right? Pena could be your shortstop. McGonagall's your third baseman. You move Colt Keith back over to second base, and you're trading Gleyber Torres, right? And that works out. And all these guys are either rentals or they're still signed through, I think it's 2028 is their earliest year as for free agency. The name that I was looking at when I just started thinking about this, I look at the teams that are out of it. And in the American League, in the National League, there are a handful of teams that are out of it. Cincinnati, I think, is out of it. That's safe to say. Spencer Steer is an outfielder for them. He plays outfield and also plays a little infield for them. His numbers against left-handed pitching are really good. Hits .324 this year with a 1,044 OPS. His on-base percentage is .427. All this against lefties in a decent sample size of 68 at-bats against lefties this year. It's the third most at-bats against the lefty that a Cincinnati player has. It's something like that. All right, this guy's had 20 home runs a year for the last, I think, 3 years. He's done it. He's got pop in the bat. But to me, this is just platoon player. Need an extra outfielder, a guy who can play third base if you need to, third or first base if you need to. This is a guy that can do that, and it's platoon. So he's the right-handed version. Let have him hit against lefties. Kerry Carpenter hits against righties and work from there. It's just another bat. It's like, is this an upgrade over Matt Vierling in terms of plate appearances? And the answer is a resounding yes. Hell yes, he is. Is he good defensively? I have no idea. you know, I'm not going to blow smoke up your channel and let you know that, yeah, I've watched all these games in Cincinnati and this guy's really good in the outfield. I don't know. And, you know, trying to read stats on a you know, baseballreference.com to check out how they are defensively, you know, sometimes it's a hit or miss when you look at it, just sheer numbers. But it seems like this guy would be a pretty good fit. You're looking for right-handed bats. I don't think he would cost a ton. Does this make sense?
Could. Very well could. And, you know, Steer has a reputation as a utility guy who can play defense. So it's you know, he's got a good reputation defensively. All right, instead we get to some feedback before we get back to the phone calls. From an unnamed texter, Malgiri with a huge double, LOL. but honestly, at least he put the ball in play. Jamai Jones would have struck out. Why the hell is Jones still on the roster? Anyway, DFAM. From Joe and the Thumb with a text that's okay. The big difference is Malgiri is getting the at-bats and not Jones. So
that is a difference.
You know, you go back to...
It's not unnoticed.
At some point, an organization will say enough. And we've said this for years. Organizations, coaches, GMs react way slower than fans. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. In the case of Jamai Jones, it wouldn't surprise any of us any day if there's a change. And obviously they had reached a breaking point with Joey Cora, which some fans had called and complained about. At some point, as an organization, you say enough is enough. We don't think he's going to correct. And at this point, we just need a better option. I still think Jones is any day now something could happen.
I agree with you. I think it's just a question of when they feel comfortable enough saying Max Anderson, congratulations, you've earned it on your way to get back up here, or for Chase Young, you know, or one of the other outfielders I've mentioned a million times. And it has to happen. I mean, the point is Malgiri's already passed you by. So what does Jamai Jones get you? He has no utility as a right-handed hitter against left-handed pitching because he hasn't done it this year. He was fantastic at it last year. Yep. I can't emphasize that enough. Last year, the buttons were pressed, and he delivered so much. His OPS was well over 900 against left-handed pitching last year. It is pathetic this year against left-handed pitching. And, you know, this is a classic. He's a last roster spot guy in Major League Baseball. It's a nice spot to be in because you make a nice living doing it. However, it's also a short living. You know, you're only good until you're not. And if you don't have everyday starting ability, then your ability is coming off the bench. And if you show that you're not doing it, next guy up.
What are you doing? Yeah, how are you helping the team? Michael and Celine, you're on 97.1. Hello, Michael.
Hey, guys. Listening to the discussion on, you know, buy or sell, I actually think both can be true in this scenario, meaning if the Tigers think they have a dying asset in Skubal, you can still sell him, and granted, our team would be better with him than not. But our starting pitching is our asset. That's where we're good at. Could we survive without him? I think we could. And you can use those resources or any other resources in your organization to still go out and get that hitter and get that reliever that you need to hopefully make a playoff push. So I don't think it's buy or sell. I think it can be buy and sell and still get to where you want to go.
I it's a weird concept, okay? And Gator's been pushing this for weeks, and I keep saying the same thing, and that is I don't think you need to explain how losing the best pitcher in baseball really hurts you when it comes to your playoff chances. I know where you're coming from. Gator, I know where you're coming from. Mm-hmm. Can you address concerns and survive without Skubal because you have starting pitching depth? And I suppose you can, but I just don't know that you can win the whole thing that way. And
I totally understand. And that's the number one fear that you would have is that you just cut off your arm, right? There goes the number one option you have. But now, can you regenerate that arm in a different way? And it's still a good arm, but it's not as not as strong and wield the power. I mean, Tarik Skubal's best pitcher in baseball. Or he's, yeah,
how do you get rid of that guy and still and compete? And yeah, and
well, you still compete because these other arms are really good too.
Yeah, but you're trading him to an organization that they're going to send back useful pieces to a playoff team because that organization's trying to win too.
Yeah, they wouldn't be. With my plan to be the Dodgers, and you would
call up Sirota.
Double-A players.
He just wants Sirota so bad. Yeah. I'm just saying. It's one of the biggest other organization minor league baseball player crushes ever is Gators.
It's a big one.
He loves a Tulsa driller. It's Carson Anderson. You're on 97.1.